This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today. A special program honoring veterans and getting to know a couple of veterans here in the Umpqua Valley. Roger Bocock is in with us. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, etc.
Born and raised in Roseburg, 1946. Went through all the schools here. Joe Lane, Roseburg High, graduated in 1964.
So which elementary school did you go to?
Riverside, which is no longer here.
Right.
And, loved living here.
So how did you get into the service, and how old were you when you did that?
After I graduated in 1964, went to Tried College. Wasn't too successful at that. So decided that I was going to Portland State. Decided that I'd join the Navy. Went down to the recruiter, talked to them. They set me up on a delay program so I could finish my term in school. Then they filled my chit. So the Naval Reserve got in touch with me. I joined the Naval Reserve. Was a member there for 1 year, and then went active duty in the regular Navy in June of 1967.
Wow, interesting timing there. How long were you in?
I was in for 3 years. Made two WestPac cruises to Vietnam on a heavy cruiser, and my ship was very active during my two cruises there. We fired over 60,000 rounds of troop support while I was in the service. We were there during a Tet Offensive, and I just call it a busy time, but it was kind of horrific at times. Other times was enjoyable.
You know, that Tet Offensive, I remember just barely, because we won't talk about how old I was then. I mean, that seemed like a very intense period during that conflict.
Yeah, I was 20 years old, and we spent 2 weeks off the provincial capital of Vietnam called, the city was called the City of Hue, and we spent 2 weeks off of there and fired over 20,000 rounds of support for our troops that were fighting the communist NVA and Viet Cong.
Wow. Now, I know that everybody in the military, you have a lot going on, but you have a job. What was yours?
My job was actually a signalman, which was visual communications. If you remember flashing lights on Navy ships at night and blinking lights, well, that was one of my specialties, and then also visual communications between other ships. But also getting to become proficient at that, they had us young guys in the bottom of the turrets handling powder and projectiles, and our guns were 8 inches in diameter, and the projectile weighed about 260 pounds, and it took about 100 pounds of powder to fire each projectile. So you can see that we were very busy, and you know, it was kind of a scary place to be, not knowing what was happening topside.
And, I mean, you had to be really in shape for that.
Well, I was 19, 20, 21 years old, so, you know, I was okay then.
Okay, well, it just, that's a lot of weight, wow. So, other places that you went while you were in, or you were pretty much in that area?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we did go back after our first cruise. We went back to San Diego for a couple months, and then deployed again to Vietnam, and we would stop in Hawaii on the way to Vietnam. We'd stop in the island of Guam, where my buddy here served, and also, you know, I'd been to Hong Kong and Japan and a few places in the Philippines. So, you know, I got to see a lot as a little kid from Roseburg, Oregon.
And so, obviously, a lot of experiences. You mentioned the intensity of what you were doing there. What about in your off time? What kind of experiences did you have? Or was there really any off time there?
Well, there was, in the ports, I bought my mom china from, sets of china, and bought my dad, my family things, that were in duty-free ports. So shopping and stuff like that.
So you're in there with, now on the ship, how many of you were on there?
1,000 sailors on our ship. Our ship was almost 700 feet long and probably 70 feet wide. And I served on our ship with a young man from Myrtle Creek that happened to be on my ship. And so we've been lifelong friends. His name was George Lowry from Myrtle Creek. So he's been my lifelong friend, still around.
Wow. That seems like, from pictures I've seen from that era, if you have that many people on a ship, you don't have a lot of personal space.
Not really, no. No private bedrooms, no private bathrooms. But, we all had a job to do, and, that's part of the sacrifice, for being in the service and representing the United States of America, which I'm very proud of.
What were maybe one of the toughest experiences you had while you were serving?
Realizing that young men like me were casualties of war, and being on board ship when they brought in these young men that had already passed away, and looking down at them and thinking, that could be me. That's when the realization came that it was not a game, that it was real, and realizing that it could be our time. But it was what we did, and we did it, with our head held high, and we're proud of what we were doing at the time.
So talk about your life after the military. What did you do after that?
I thought that I would be going into the state police, but I became a log scaler. I took the log scaling class at UCC and graduated in that class and was a log scaler for 13 years before I moved up to Scotts Valley there by Yoncalla, and my family raised wine grapes, and so I marketed wine grapes. We had 21 acres of wine grapes, and which represented 13,000 plants. And so I did the pruning and not too much of the picking, but and the marketing of the grapes for wineries all over the state, one being Henry Estate Winery.
So then you didn't have a winery yourself.
No.
You just other people were sourcing their grapes from you then.
Absolutely, yeah.
And how long did you do that?
I did that for 9 years. And so then beyond that, I worked heavy construction.
Wow. So what are your thoughts when you look at Veterans Day? What's it make you think of?
Well, pride. Pride in the United States, pride in our flag. Thankful that I did serve, that I can be a member of a veteran community here in Douglas County, which I'm a member of the Vietnam Veterans of America. And we have a chapter here with over, I think it's close to 300 members, which 70 to 80 come once a month to our meetings. And it's a real brotherhood, a real wonderful organization that we have.
All right, Roger Bocock, thanks for your service.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
We're going to continue with Lonnie Shields in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. It's 1248 inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Special program to honor veterans today. Lonnie Shields, our second guest. Lonnie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
So tell us about your background growing up. It sounds like you grew up here, too.
I was born and raised right here in Douglas County. I went to Green Elementary, Joseph Lane Junior High, and then, like with my friend Roger, we both graduated from Roseburg High School in 1964.
Wow. And has anybody ever told you you've got a really good voice?
I've been told that. I'm the lead on the honor guard to the Vietnam veterans, and people approach me and have said that, and I think that's why I was hired to be the lead on this honor guard.
Wow. And of course, I didn't see this coming, so that's great. We may put you to work here. Who knows? After high school, what led to you going in the military?
Well, right out of high school, I went to work for Roseburg Lumber, and I'd been in the Civil Air Patrol before that, and so I knew I wanted to go into the United States Air Force, and so I went in and talked to the Air Force recruiter, and he said, well, I'll just keep an eye on your draft number. Well, one day, I'd still live with my parents after I got off graveyard, and my mom says, well, you got a letter from the government. And I opened it up, and it was my draft notice. Well, I ran and drove into town, and I asked the recruiter, I said, well, what's with this? And he says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. And so as everything would be better, we all went on the same bus to Portland up to the induction center. And right from there, we flew to Lackland Air Force Base for basic training.
Wow. And you said Air Force?
Yes.
So now, did you have a choice as to which branch you went in?
I would have gone in the Army, but I just missed that by just a little bit. So the Air Force recruiter did make sure that I went Air Force.
So after all that, what happened next?
Well, I went through basic training, and my first, after going to school as a jet engine technician up at Chanute Air Force Base in Illinois, I got assigned to Mather Air Force Base in California. I was there for about 2.5 years, and then I got my deployment to Anderson Air Force Base, Guam.
So how long were you there?
I was there for 1 year on Anderson. I was on flying status, so being a jet engine tech, I was able to go on these bombing missions over Vietnam 3 separate times.
Now, did you already have the skill set from mechanics before all of this?
Yeah, I had some mechanical, not really anything you want to talk about, but I was mechanically inclined.
So how long did you end up being in the service overall?
I was in the Air Force for 4 years.
And where are some of the other places that you went?
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of places to go except for Guam. It was just kind of a little spot in the middle of the Pacific. And so there wasn't really a lot of places to go. We did have 2 typhoon evacs when typhoons would come in, and we would have to evacuate our B-52s to other deployed areas. And so I did get a chance to go to Okinawa twice.
Gosh, the idea of having to fly when you've got a typhoon, somewhere in the region, that does not sound like fun.
No, my first time there, I hadn't been on Guam very long, and I did have to ride out a typhoon that came through there, and it's not something I would want to do.
Man, so you were there, you went through the time. What led you to deciding to exit after the 4 years or so?
Oh, my family was in the States, and I had a wife and a young son, and so I just wanted to get back with them. Being a naive young man, I thought, well, I've got an honorable discharge. I'd be just willing to hire me. So it didn't ever work out, so I came back to work at Roseburg Lumber.
So you were already married when you went in then?
No, I met my wife at Mather Air Force Base.
Oh, okay. So was she in as well?
No, she was. Matter of fact, her dad was a retired Air Force, but no, she was not a military.
So you come back. What did you do? How long were you at Roseburg Forest Products?
Well, I worked there for 44 years. After I came back, I went back to work for them in 1970. And worked in production for about 20 years, and then I went into my apprenticeship for being a millwright, and then I was a millwright for about 28 years.
Wow. And one plant in particular or multiple?
It was Plywood Plant 1, and that's almost non-existent anymore. They've kind of toned down the Plant 1 and Plant 2 plywood and moved everything to Riddle.
So talk about some of your experiences while you were there. I mean, Guam is a very small place. What did you do during your time off?
Go to the NCO club. It was not much. There was not much to do. You go to movie theaters and things like this, but there wasn't an awful lot to do on Guam. You go down there, it was a beautiful place to be, and sometimes we'd go down to the beach and have little get-togethers.
Talk about maybe some tough experiences.
Well, like what Roger was saying, it's the idea that so many people, our young men and women, were dying in Vietnam. I know that there was C-141s coming through Anderson quite often, with loaded down with body bags. And I'll never forget that. It was just one of those things in life that, as a young man, it was an eye-opener.
Yeah, I imagine. And how old were you at that point?
I was about 21, 22.
What about highlights of being in the military?
I was so proud to be in the United States Air Force, and my youngest son, he was smarter than me. He stayed in the Air Force. He went in there right out of high school, and he stayed 27 years and retired as a Chief Master Sergeant E-9.
Wow. So do you have other family that's in the military?
I do. My granddaughter, my son's daughter, that they lived in Texas, and she went into the Air Force, and she's in this new Space Force at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. My grandson, I'm not sure what he was thinking, but he went in the Navy, and he kind of broke the legacy, but I'm really proud of that young man. He's at Bangor base up in Washington State with nuclear submarines. He's in law enforcement, and that's his job, to maintain security.
So were there people in your family or family tree ahead of you that had been in the military?
My dad, he was a World War II veteran, and that's about it. My sister, she never went in the military.
But after your service, it sounds like that probably had something to do with other family members getting involved later.
Yeah, I think so. My middle son, he wanted to go in the Navy, but something, he had a congenital heart problem, and even though he was in good health, the Navy didn't want to take a chance. And my oldest son, never went in the military.
So talk about when you think of Veterans Day, what do you think about?
Pride in our militaries, all branches, just like with Vietnam veterans, there's Air Force, Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, and I'm so proud of each and every one of these people who have served.
It sounds like you've made a lot of long-term friendships out of this.
Oh, yes, sir, we sure have. It's bunch of great people. I can't tell you how proud we are, especially with the Honor Guard. They come out, it's kind of our home away from home, is at the National Cemetery. And as a matter of fact, we've got four of them today. Roger and I were bypassing one of them to be here today.
Well, thanks for coming in. Lonnie Shields, we appreciate your service.
Thank you, man.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.